Wow, Kurt Warner and the Cardinals came out and said, "What's my name?"
Welcome to Arizona Cardinals Underground.
Touchdown, Arizona!
That was beautiful! Oh my goodness!
The latest news and notes on the Arizona Cardinals from the guys who cover the team.
Anquan Boldin has put the diaper firmly on their defensive coordinator.
DRC can take off the hood and drop the sickle. This one's over.
From Cardinals headquarters.
Adrian Wilson just ate his liver with fava beans and a fine Chianti.
That'll win you a gig in the NFL.
Larry Fitzgerald. Oh, my goodness.
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get your rear right back in the locker room.
You know what just dawned on me? Cardinals Underground here on azcardinals.com is sort of like Ron Wolfley.
Yeah.
With the family size bag of beef jerky.
Just dawned on you, huh, Paul? Hit you like a bottle right over the head.
We chew on a lot of stuff. Just a lot of chewing. Working the mandible, the jawbone. We just chew on a lot of stuff here on Cardinals Underground.
Like cud.
We break it down. We, we pontificate. We deliberate. We evaluate. And if you're Ron Wolfley, you fabricate. That's my intro. Good night, everybody. Drive safely.
Exactly.
Paul Calvisi, Darren Urban.
Quit while you're ahead, Paul.
Some guy over there with the fabrications, Ron Wolfley, Cardinals conference room. Darren, seriously, you need to be the voice of reason here coming off the bye week.
Because I'm sensing a lot of energy. I try to be that as much as I can.
Yeah, a lot of energy here. You know, are you rested? Are you refreshed?
I'm as refreshed as I could be. My Sunday kind of got turned because the dryer crapped out, so I had to buy a new dryer for $450 bucks. So I was
Wolf, cut them off quick before we get the details of the dryer story. We don't want the details. No. The people are just they're clicking off the podcast right now.
Yes.
Save
are
us
you
with
rested
that.
Though, Paul? That's the question.
I'm refreshed. I'm rejuvenated. You're rehabilitated. You know, we're good. We're all good here on the azcardinals.com.
More importantly, the coach says that the players are refreshed, and I mean, we'll see what happens Sunday, but that's the story right now.
In fact, I'm going to anticipate some palaver from Ron Wolfley. I'm just going to get right to the meat and potatoes of it right now. Wolf, before you say that, you know, it's okay, you can start like 0-9 in the NFL and still make the playoffs, okay? I'm just going to cut you off right here. Yeah. Did you know that since 1990, when it comes to making the postseason, if you start 2-2, your odds of making the postseason are 35%.
I did not know that, Paul.
If you go 3-1, your odds are 64%.
I see.
But somebody sound the Halloween horror music here. If you start 1-3, your chances of making the playoffs are 16%.
That's higher than I actually thought it would be.
To be honest, it is too. And you know what? We probably don't have these numbers, Paul, and I don't mean to, you know, because you did a great job getting these numbers in the first place.
Right.
But I'd love to know what the numbers would be if you start 0-3 at home making the playoffs.
Oh, boy.
Which obviously, if this team is 1-3, that's what happened.
See, Darren picking up on that little audible, that little check with me at the line of scrimmage. In other
Tokyo.
In other words, okay, this game has some serious gravity attached to it. The Houston Texans coming to town, it's just not another game. It's not just week 5. The Cardinals' playoff lives literally hang in the balance according to the numbers over here on the pad.
Well, I would say the percentages of their playoff lives, of course, because 16% of the time, you are wrong, Paul. 16% of the time, even if you go 1-3, you can still get into the postseason. Now, again, I agree with your what you are proffering here this morning. What you basically are saying is this is a huge game for the Arizona Cardinals, and Darren throwing in the fact that I'd like to know what the percentages are for a team that went 0-3 for its first three games at home. That also is an excellent point there. This I'm not disputing the fact that this is a massive game for the Cardinals.
Let me ask you guys a question. I had said this yesterday, but doesn't this game, to me, it has that feel of the Bills game last year. Now, granted, Anquan Boldin's not going to have a broken face. He'll actually be playing this time, and Adrian Wilson is healthy. But it has this game has the same feeling to me as the Bills game did last year. They were coming off, now that was after four games, but they were coming off a really bad loss in New York. Two losses in a row. People were wondering. They were coming home against a team that some people thought could be pretty good, but nobody was real sure about. And they played really well against the Bills and obviously took care of business. And this game just has that feel to me. And again, having Anquan and Adrian healthy makes a big difference this time around. But that's the feel I get for this game.
Well, even though Adrian Wilson wasn't 100%, you know, the key to that game, you can still contend, was A-Dub's knockout of Trent Edwards in that game.
Absolutely.
You know? I mean, Wolf, when you look at the film on the Cardinals through this part of the season, I mean, are the two losses vastly different from the one win? Are they two entirely different Cardinal teams on film?
They absolutely are. Paul, and it all starts with a protection for Kurt Warner. I cannot tell you how similar it was in the losses, the two losses that the Cardinals have here. The ability to rush four, and the Colts did it a little bit more than I thought that they would. They brought five. Now, they still brought four on a regular basis. They brought four more times, of course, than they brought five. But the 49ers, for the most part, lined up and brought four and said, go get them, and drop seven. The Colts did that. They mimicked that. But they brought five a few more times than I thought that they probably would. That probably was in hopes of freeing up either Robert Mathis or Dwight Freeney at some point. And we saw the fruits of that for the Indianapolis Colts. In the two losses for the Arizona Cardinals, it's all been about protecting Kurt Warner. This team, guys, I'm going to say it over and over and over again. The Arizona Cardinals move the football via the pass. That's what they do best. That's what this team is built for. And if you move the football that way, you also many times score touchdowns that way and score points that way by throwing the football. It's what the Arizona Cardinals do best. When you don't do that, when you don't protect Kurt Warner, it sets off a chain reaction throughout the entire team that not only affects the offense, but also affects the defensive side of the ball. So to me, it's just the two losses, the common denominator has been poor protection for Kurt Warner. The good news is the Houston Texans got four sacks so far on the season. They're like number 29 in sacks per pass attempt in the National Football League.
That's less than Jared Allen had on Monday night.
Exactly.
That's a great point.
I mean, literally. Well, and that's where I was going with this, guys, was that is there a lesson to be learned? Have the Cardinals learned their lesson through the first three games of the season? And because for me, when I hear the quotes, I like what I'm hearing based on the off week so far. And I know, it's all talk until we see it on the field, as Darren Urban, the season media member, shrugs his shoulders over there. But wait a minute, Darren, let me foist you this little quote here. This is the money quote to me over the last 10 days. Is Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie saying that he, quote, now has an understanding that everybody's as athletic as you? That's Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. And I think that's key because, at least on defense, I think that's the linchpin to the Cardinals' defense. Is, as Coach Wisenhunt and Bill Davis said after the loss, right, two of the three losses, they said the same thing. We didn't win the one-on-one matchups. Translation, we're counting on guys like DRC to pull their weight and shut down those guys. So we do other things we want on defense. And so just as a trickle-down effect, I'm wondering, Darren, if guys have realized, okay, there's a lesson to be learned. We just can't roll out there as the Arizona Cardinals NFC champions, because as we sort of speculate on the Big Red Rage Wolf, I think it could be worse this year, this flip-the-switch mentality, because the Cardinals actually proved last year, yes, you can flip the switch and make a run to the big game.
Well, it'll be – I talked to a couple of players this week, and they said, look, they did handle some things internally in which, they felt like they had to get some ducks in a row amongst themselves.
Anquan Boldin addressed the team again.
And so I think hopefully that means something. Hopefully the regrouping because of the bye, hopefully that will set them on the path that they need to be on. I mean, you mentioned, did they learn the lesson? I thought they had learned the protection lesson after the Jacksonville game.
And they played really well.
Now, again, they ran into a buzzsaw with two great ends with the Colts, and you can't discount, the game-to-game changes and who you're matching up with how it affects things. But at the same time, I thought they did a good job against some good pass rushing teams last year with the same offensive line. So, I mean, to me, they've got the ability to get it done. It's just a question of whether they can find it on a consistent basis.
In regard to what you said about DRC to Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, it is my own personal belief. And You know, I think we tend to laugh at this, but it's my personal belief that everyone deserves to be punched in the face probably once every 3 or 4 years. I think it'd be really good for somebody to be punched in the face once every 3 or 4 years.
I'd like to avoid that.
Because it's really hard to be prideful. It really is when you have blood running down your mouth.
Should we make it part of the physical from Doc Cool?
I mean, seriously, Paul.
It's Moon it's, River and then boom, right to the kisser.
Exactly. Okay. It's hard to be very prideful. It gives you a little piece of humility when you have blood running down your nose. It's hard to be mean when you have blood running down your face.
I get punched in the face every April 15th by the IRS.
I think it basically is good for people to do that. A little slice of humble pie. And I think Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie out on the football field has gotten a little punch to the face.
He doesn't need to eat the whole pie, though, does he?
No, he does not need to eat the whole pie. But I think when you hear those comments right there from Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, that really makes me feel good. That gives me confidence in this young man and his ability to maybe get it right. Because I got to tell you, there's two ways you can go on that as a player. You can ignore it and pretend that your problems don't exist. Or you can embrace it. You can acknowledge it. And if a player will embrace and acknowledge his shortcomings or embrace and acknowledge what DRC did right there with that quote, go ahead, Paulie, read that quote one more time.
Well, he's saying, look, he has a, quote, understanding now that everybody's as athletic as you, which isn't exactly true. He's more athletic than most. Well, but he's not as – he can't just go out there and play on athleticism alone. Hence my point a week ago about you're not Dion. You can't get away with just athleticism.
Pierre Garçon served up some humble pie to Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, and you better be sure of that. And what I like is I see a guy who's not laughing it off, a guy that's not ignoring it, a guy that's not pretending like it didn't happen, but a guy that's accountable. He's got a chance.
Here's the only thing, and I don't know if it was concerns me, and I don't want to turn this all into DRC because to me this is a greater thing. But in using DRC as an example, you know, the stories came out yesterday at DRC. I didn't happen to be there when he was talking, and I didn't write that story. But I'm I didn't feel that bad because I had written something similar, and then I went back to go look to make sure that I was right. And there it was as a lead note before the season opener, after the Denver preseason game when he struggled against Green Bay, and then he gave up an early play against Denver. There was DRC telling me, I know I need to learn. I know I'm not there yet. He didn't say, I know everybody's athletic of me, but it was basically the same thing. And then we've gotten to this point where, you know, we know he made the mistakes in the Colts game. We've talked about he made the mistakes in the practice, and he hadn't gotten it fixed, and then it happened in the game. And I guess where I'm going with this is I do agree that they're saying what they need to say. I do think they understand it on a daily basis. And even Fitz told me, you know, look, when we're out there during practice, we're not making the mental mistakes most of the time. We're not dropping the ball. We look pretty good. And then something happens on Sundays. And that's what I'm concerned about is how is this translating? Maybe DRC does understand it during the week, but why is it not translating over? And it's not just with him, it's with everybody. Because it sounds like they seem to understand where the shortcomings are, but it's not translating.
Well, and I agree with that. And I think it goes back to that question we posed. Remember the true-false question I posed last week, guys? And I said, true or false, it's not a lack of ability with the Cardinals right now in the 1-2 record. It's a lack of execution. And so you feel better with that because I agree with that. I think that's a fair assessment. It's not a lack of ability. They can match up with most every team in the NFL. It's a lack of execution. So you know they have that ability inherent within them. But does it make it any better if they're still not winning games? Does it make it any better if they're not executing? And that's the only word you hear out of that locker room is the lack thereof, execution.
What's interesting about that, Paulie, just to back up what you're saying, execution means being physical. It means being physical. The one thing that is different about what happened to DRC in the Green Bay game, and of course in the Denver game, the thing that is different in the Colts game, Pierre Garçon out physicaled Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. I mean, took him to the woodshed on some plays.
I was down on the sideline. He sucked him in mentally. Just talked a good game and then just fed it to him.
Well,
he did
physically. That is the humble pie that you remember. That is the humble pie that'll open your eyes and do away with a lot of the lip service talk. It's one thing that a guy will just line up and run by you. It's quite another thing when a guy will line up and run by you and then on the next play run over you. It's believe me, you sit in the film room, you sit there in front of your coach. Guess what? You sit there in front of your peers and you watch that happen to you. Let me tell you, that's the kind of thing that sticks in your craw and that you do not forget so readily.
Speaking of your peers here on Cardinals Underground and azcardinals.com, you know, I'm not buying a lot of what I'm seeing here in the NFC West, guys. And maybe it's the economy and we're more stringent and stingy and prudent with our dollars, but I don't know. I'm looking at some of this, and I mean, Seattle's done. I mean, is Seattle not done? The whole left side of the offensive line is absolutely devastated. Hasselbeck is dealing with injury. They're 5-15 since their playoff game at the end of 2007. Is Seattle not done?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. If Hasselbeck comes back this week and stays on the field, which is a huge question mark because he hasn't been able to do it for a long time, but if he's back on the field, they're 1-3, 16%, Paul. You said it yourself.
Right, yeah.
And to me, it's not about the 16%. It's about two games.
Yes.
It's about two games against the Arizona Cardinals. Forget about the fact they're 1-3. They could be, in my opinion, Paulie, they could be 2-12. And yet, if they still had two games to play, and especially one of those up there at Quest Field.
False start field.
Exactly. For the Cardinals, I could care what their record is. Yeah. Seattle, for whatever reason, typically plays the Cardinals very well.
And going off of that, too, I mean, this stretch of games, knowing that you've got a Giants Sunday night game in New York in a few weeks, this two-game stretch with Houston and then following up at Seattle – you can't overstate how important these two games are, yeah, in my opinion, for the Cardinals to win both of them.
Yeah.
And it's one thing to win at home against Houston. It's another thing, I don't care, again, like Wolf said, how beat up they are, to go into Seattle and beat them again. You know they're angry that they lost to the division last year. I mean, that's going to be so difficult. I can't just shove off the Seahawks. I just can't.
And before we get to Houston, I mean, a quick thought on the rest of the division. I mean, St. Louis, okay. I mean, you know, 14 losses in a row. They've been outscored in their four losses to start this year, 108-24.
That is a team I'm willing to write off.
I mean, once again, get out the beef jerky, Wolf. Chew on that stat. They're 5-31 since 07, right? Here's
Paul,
the thing, though.
The athletic process must be satisfied.
Okay, and check this out, though. Like, in the Niners win against the Rams, right, 35-0. But wait a minute. Two touchdowns were by the Niners defense. Another touchdown was by the Niners special teams. So, yes, the Niners are 3-1, but they're a running team that's averaging, as a team, 77 yards rushing a game. I mean, Sean Hill is the sixth-rated passer in the NFC, but I'm just trying to figure out the Niners are legit.
The ball is bouncing their way right now.
It is.
I can tell you in what was it, 1995, I was a St. Louis Ram. It was the 10th year of my career, and we were 4-1 after 5 weeks of the season. We were 4-1. You know what we were? In the plus-minus column in the turnover, plus 14.
Wow.
After
5 games, whoa, we were plus 14. The ball was just bouncing all over the field, and every time it was on the ground or batted into the air, our guys were coming down with it. And because of that, we were 4-1. Suddenly, the ball stopped bouncing our way. I'll break out the chainsaw. We went right through the wood chipper after that. We were awful. And right now, again, I'm not saying the San Francisco 49ers are awful. I said from the beginning, I believe the 49ers were going to be the team that would challenge the Arizona Cardinals in the NFC West. They are a very good team, and they are a disciplined team. But right now, the ball is really bouncing their way. We'll see when they're faced with a little bit of adversity.
And we'll see what they do against Atlanta this Sunday. That'll be a good benchmark game there as well. But the Cardinals do have teams like the Vikings straight ahead. The Giants are on the schedule. So as you talk about the Houston Texans, I mean, there is no doubt, break out the stats and the percentages or what have you, this is definitely a must-win game at home. So what do we see in the Texans, guys? I mean, I know, Darren, you were involved with the coach's press conference, the teleconference there, and so forth. Give us a few noteworthy stats and takeaways from that.
Well, I mean, I just think ultimately they're a team that's searching in a lot of ways for themselves, just like the Cardinals are. I mean, they're 2-2 right now. But, you know, the big talk in the offseason was how that team could be the Cardinals of 2009, this team, that a sleeper up-and-coming team that could really burst on the scene. And they haven't done that. I mean, they've got a couple wins, but they got a couple of bad losses. They're very up and down defensively. They're not playing as well as people thought they were going
not
to.
Not even close.
So, I mean, in a lot of ways, they mirror this team. A defense that can get the job done if they can, but they rely on their offense. They rely on their offense to score a lot of points. And I think ultimately, even with Steve Slayton, they're a pass-first team. It could be – I hesitate to say this after what we said going into the Colts game, but it should be a shootout. That's the kind of game that you're expecting when it all plays out.
They are a Jekyll and Hyde team. They really are. Up and down, up and down. A team that is trying to find its identity and find itself. And that is, right now, what the Arizona Cardinals, I think, are. They are a team that early in the season are still trying to find that magic that they had in January of this year as opposed to December of last year.
All right, so considering what the Niners pass rush did against the Cardinals, considering what Dwight Freeney and Robert Mathis did against the Cardinals, do you start with Mario Williams? Is that where you're starting? Is that the key guy you got to stop, Wolf, when you're talking about the Houston Texans, maybe above anybody else?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a guy over the last two seasons has 26 sacks. Mario Williams. You know, and it was so funny, too, because if you remember when the Texans took him over Reggie Bush, I mean, it was like, what are you doing? You got to be kidding me, you know. And now, all of a sudden, nobody's saying that anymore.
Did you take down your post from the message boards, Wolf, after that, by the way? Weren't you you were message board guy on Reggie Bush, weren't you, with the Texans?
As a matter of fact, I was not, Paul. Thank you very much. But, you know, Mario Williams, again, this is a guy that is in that class. He's in that elite pass rushing class, and it's going to be interesting to see what do the Texans try to do. They look at the two losses, the two common denominators were the fact that most of the time the Colts again and the 49ers were able to rush for and get pressure and really disrupt Kurt Warner in that passing game. Will they try to do the same thing? Because again, the alternative is going, well, let's blitz Kurt. Let's go after him that way. The problem is that's what Greybeard wants you to do.
Well, and the other thing, too, is the fact that other than Dunta Robinson, who's a very good cornerback, but he's been grumpy because of his contract and is under franchise, they are incredibly young in the secondary. I think they have a bunch of rookies back there. If you don't get pressure, whether it's blitz or not blitz, I mean, the Cardinals have plenty of receivers to take advantage of whoever Dunta Robinson isn't covering, which I assume it's going to be Fitz.
What do we know about Antonio Smith? You know, it went from Calvin Pace money to Antonio Smith money was the phrase in this past offseason. What do we know about Antonio right now? He's playing in a different position, guys?
Well, he's playing defensive end, and in the nickel situation, they run a 3-4 defense. It is an odd 3-4, and they'll reduce it down, which means they'll take Antonio, who's playing defensive end, and they'll move him down to a 3 technique or a 5 technique. Shaded on the tackle shoulder or on the guard shoulder on the weak side. They'll do that, and that's where I think he's most effective. But in nickel situations, opposite of Mario Williams, who's playing right defensive end, you'll see Antonio at left defensive end as the edge rusher out there. And that's where I think he's a little out of position right there. It kind of feels maybe like a duck out of water, maybe, or – you know, he doesn't like a fish out of water, I think. Not a duck out of water.
It might be a duck
fish out of water, as a matter of fact, is a better analogy. So they're using him differently, but he did show up, had a very, very good game the last game they played.
Against Oakland, right?
What are you saying? Are you trying to say it matters who he had a good game against?
These days against Oakland, think there's that.
I think it works to the Cardinals' advantage. They got a false sense of security coming in after a 29-6 win against the Raiders, right? I mean, it's like playing the JV. You're coming into a real NFL game. I think that works to the Cardinals' advantage. I'll say it right here and right now on Cardinals Underground. By the way, their quarterback, I mean, I got some of his mutual funds, this Charles Schwab guy, you know. The management fees are outrageous, by the way. Can the Cardinals just muster up the
– It's Schwab, Paul, not Schwab.
Jim O'Hunter is telling me Matt Schaub. He's writing on my pad now, the pad of knowledge. Sorry, my bad about this. Is he capable of winning a game on his own? I mean, are they, you know, they're a pass-first team, and is he really the quarterback who's geared up to do that?
Paulie, guess who is number five in the National Football League in quarterback rating?
Oh, you're raising your hand there, Wolf.
Uh-oh. Matt Schaub.
Oh, boy.
Right behind the likes of the Manning brothers and Drew Brees.
I hate that. When Wolf's like the kid, the front row of class with his hand up, first with the answer, I hate it when that happens. I really do. Wolf bringing the knowledge like that.
Matt Schaub is a very capable, a very good quarterback. He's number seven in passing yards right now. And actually, he's number seven now in quarterback rating as well because of what Brett Favre did. Because of what Brett Favre did over the weekend. So he dropped a couple of spots right there. But Schaub is a very capable quarterback, especially anytime you pair him up with a guy like Andre Johnson.
They score points. There's no question they score points, Raiders or no Raiders.
By the way, the topic du jour this week in the NFL is quarterbacks and protecting quarterbacks like Schaub or Charles Schwab or whatever. Brett Favre. Look at the numbers that Brett Favre in that Monday night game did, right? The highest rated cable telecast in the NFL ever. Look at the game between the Ravens and the Patriots. Tom Brady, right, and Flacco and all that. And then look at the calls that went against the Ravens. Ray Lewis, yes. I know Ray Lewis was all bunched up there after the game about, okay, wait a minute. You get anywhere near in the vicinity of Tom Brady, and boom, they're going to flag you up. T-Suggs, we saw that. T-Sizzle. But you know what?
T-Sizzle.
Why is there any consternation about that? Don't we all understand that these aren't football decisions? These are business decisions. The popularity of the NFL rides on the arms of the quarterbacks. I mean, let me give you guys two words on that Ravens-Patriots game. Brian Hoyer. What if Brady is submarined and taken out of that game and sawed off at the knees? In comes the rookie backup, Brian Hoyer. Are you watching that game if he's the quarterback? Are you watching the game if Sage Rosenfels is the guy in there for an injured Brett Favre? What have I been saying here on Cardinals Underground as I throw down my pen for effect? What have I been saying here for more than a year? Just put the red jersey on him. I have no problem. You're already saying the quarterbacks are untouchable in the rules. That's the way you're calling the game if you're the referees. Just make them untouchable. Literally put the red jersey on him. I would have no problem with that. And then let everybody else, all 21 guys on the field, just knock each other's brains out. I don't care. But
you know
just
what?
Make them untouchable. They're too valuable.
You ought to have your shoulder blades split just for saying that. Paul, you've got to let it hit the quarterback, sack the quarterback. You got to be able to do that. I understand your point. There's no denying what your point is saying either. But having said that, you cannot change the fabric of the game to that degree.
Well, but see, I think what he's saying, Wolf, is that the fabric's already been changed.
No, it hasn't.
You're doing it
right
now.
It hasn't. No, it is not.
T-Suggs literally stumbled, got shoved in behind, and just sort of fell in the vicinity of Tom Brady. They threw a flag that changed the game.
I think the NFL will say that that was a bad call.
It prolonged the drive.
It was a bad call. But I guess what I'm saying is you can hit the quarterback now, and he is being hit. He's being sacked.
I'll go down to the Cardinals locker room right now, and there would be utter confusion on that statement. What do you mean by hit the quarterback? I can't hit him? No, wait, I can't. Can I hit him with my head, my shoulder? Can I lead? Can I not? Below the waist, below the knees? There's utter confusion right now the way the NFL is regulating this protect
the QB
rule.
Well, when you say putting a red jersey on, that's what you do in practice. And
exactly.
It says you can't even touch him.
I know it sounds radical, but each year the NFL is implementing rules that get us closer to the red jersey. I'm saying just do it. Do it now. You're going to be there in 10 years. Just do it now. That's what I'm saying. Literally.
Paul, wait a minute. Are you telling me, I want to get this right. You're telling me you think the NFL is going to go to a no sack policy on quarterbacks. You can't touch a quarterback.
It's going that way.
Paul,
There's going to be a red tearaway jersey that you tear away and that denotes a sack. That's the way it's going.
Like flag football.
You laugh. Ron Wolfley.
I'm laughing at that.
Your rookie year, 1984, 85.
That is truly funny.
What if I told you 25 years ago, Ron Wolfley, that we'd be where we're at right now in this game with the protectionism?
I would tend to believe
that. You would
that.
Have laughed that same I laugh
would,
20 years
I
ago.
I would tend to believe it. What I wouldn't believe is the fact that you couldn't hit a guy that wasn't looking at you. Now that to me, I would not have believed what happened in the NFL. Forget about the defenseless receiver policy that is being instituted into the NFL. I'm talking about the guy that doesn't see you and the knockout block that you can no longer execute. That is changing the fabric of the game. In regard to a red jersey that you're going to put on the quarterback, if it ever gets to that point, I'm going to retire as a broadcaster, yeah. Period.
I tell you what.
I won't be able to do it. I'll be living up on some ridge with a bunch of trees around me
and the FBI.
Solar power.
And the FBI staking out your compound.
I was thinking the same thing.
That's exactly where
literally
it's going.
Live off the grid.
You're making my point, because 20 years from now, you're going to be that guy anyway, up on the ridge with the FBI sniffing through your garbage.
It's not very funny, Paul.
You're going to be... But, Wolf, look, I'll tell you right now, if the red jersey rule was in effect last year, the Cardinals would have a Lombardi trophy in the lobby right now, because they would have gotten Big Ben down a number of times, and Big Ben wouldn't have stayed up. And he would have, I mean, Calais Campbell would have like 17 sacks right now if they had the red jersey rule. I'm just saying, you're already changing the game. Just get it over with and just make it clear and concise. That's all I'm saying, Darren Urban.
You know what? I think that's it's a fair argument to make. I don't know if I agree that it's going to head in that direction. Yeah. God forbid if it does. But, you know, look, I agree with Wolf. It was a bad call. I mean, in that case, it got a lot of attention because of the previous problems with getting the quarterback down and hitting him low. But I think in that case, I think it's just like the pass interference call that the guy blew at the moment. And if you asked him an hour later when he saw the replay, oops, I messed that up. I think it's just a confluence of bad events, unfortunately, for the Ravens. Although it always seems to happen in terms of the Patriots, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, exactly. And it was Tom Brady. A lot of that had to do with the fact it was Tom Brady. Let's face it. Oh, yeah. That's Jamarcus Russell, and we saw that. As a matter of fact, Jamarcus Russell did get hit late where it should have been a flag. He didn't get the call. Tom Brady, and the thing that really was condemning on this is that Tom Brady turned to the referee, turned to the white hat, and was screaming at him. And the guy reached for his flag, shaking his head on the
Tom Brady.
Exactly. Yeah. And then threw it. Now, that was condemning. There's no doubt about that, Paul.
All right. I guess that'll do it for this edition of Cardinals.
Do you need help getting down off that soapbox, Paul?
I'm just, I'm
going. Let me just say this, Paul, before you go ahead and shut it down, okay?
No.
The Houston Texans, they have a hard time running the football, and they have a hard time stopping the run. They're very, very poor at rush defense, giving up 165 yards per game.
We said the same thing about the Colts, though.
One wonders if this could be the Paul Calvisi, Beanie Wells game that we continue to hear.
Do we need the Jaws theme? Do we need a bigger boat? Do the Texans need to come to town with a bigger boat and park it out in the lot at University of Phoenix Stadium? Is that what you're saying, Ron Wolfley?
I'm wondering, coming off the bye, Beanie Wells was in dire need of a bye week because of how much of training camp that he missed. We know that he's had some mental errors out there on the field, not sure of where to go all the time, not sure of his blitz pickup. Maybe the bye week really helped him out. I'm just saying. Yeah. If there was going to be a game where maybe this young man breaks out, it could be against a Houston Texans team that has had a hard time stopping the run. And they know, again, if you're going to play the Arizona Cardinals, what are you going to try to do? You're going to try to stop Kurt Warner and the triumvirate of terror and Larry Fitzgerald and Quan Bolden and Steve Breston.
See, and that caps it right there. I'm not saying, but I'm just saying, I hope Andre Johnson doesn't listen to this podcast, because the last thing the Cardinals need is a more motivated Andre Johnson. We just did an entire podcast on the Houston Texans, and you guys didn't mention the best player nobody knows anything about in the NFL once. And so I hope you guys didn't provide fuel to his fire on Sunday against the Cardinals.
I'll be writing about him on easycardinals.com. He'll get enough pub.
Are you sure I didn't mention Andre Johnson
not
at all
once,
in
Wolf.
This podcast?
Not
I keep
once.
Thinking, I don't think he's going to be looking at the team website. Yeah. That's just my opinion.
Didn't happen, Wolf. Just sort of like that conk to the head a few years ago that you reportedly, allegedly, so forth. That'll do it for this edition. Wolf, go back to the beef jerky, if you will. Darren Urban and I will get to work on azcardinals.com.